Well, one thing that Brother Copeland shared when he was here, he said one thing. He said, "This is a word church." Well, when you think about just the motto of this church, it says, "Where what? Where the love of God, help me out, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested." Now, I would just say this. You know, some people have said, "Man, I don't see that." Well, you know, I could say the same thing about some confession statements you're making over your own life. Things that you're believing for in your life to be someone who conducts themselves in a certain way. Isn't that not true? You're believing God to be better, to be bolder, to be walking in love more. I could turn around and say, "Well, you don't do that." Right? We all could talk about that. So all I'm saying is judge not. But God gave this motto, this decree through Pastor Sarah. This is, I'm talking about when they were on their way back from Rhema in 1980, gave that decree. Well, he wants that word. Why silence that? God wants that decreed over this church. And in this church, he gave it for this church. So he has a reason and he has a purpose in it. He wants it to be manifest. He wants it to be a reality. And faith's confessions create realities. Brother Hagin used to say that. So our faith confessions will produce that. If we believe and decree it and speak it. And then we need to do what? Act upon it. So God will watch over that word to make it come to pass. So this is a place where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing in everything we do and in and through its people. And where the power of God is manifested. I believe that. And so, just that way, when we decree that and believe that, I'm expecting to see it and experience and live it and be used in that way. Right? And I expect you also. Now, we may have operated at a certain level or a certain place, but God wants us to keep increasing, doesn't he? He wants us to increase in love. He wants us to increase in the area of the word. He wants us to increase in being directed by the Spirit, and he wants to increase in manifestations of the power of God through us. And we need to say that. I'm walking in love more. I'm feeding on the word more. I'm being directed by his spirit. I know him. And the power of God operates through me. We need to be bold to decree that and say that. Because we are part, we're members of this body. So the question was, is this just a nice saying or do we believe that? Do we expect it to operate in us? Because we're all parts of the body, right? So it's not just, oh, that's a nice saying. No, it's we exhibit that. Right. That's my confession. Hallelujah. So how many are with me? This year, 2022, is the best year. It's the best year that we're going to have that we've ever had. 2022 is the best year that we've ever had. The best year that we've ever lived. an experience. It's the best year. Now, God, if you believe that and you say it, then he's going to watch over your words to bring them to pass. And he's going to create situations for you to bring that to pass. You know, as someone said, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. In the sense it is. He's going to watch over your words to bring them to pass. Now, if you don't believe that, it won't happen for you. So we can have what we say, and we can have that. We can do what we say we can do. Glory to God. Isaiah 55:11, we looking at this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It what? It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall what? Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So his word planted in my heart and watered and spoken in faith will produce. It'll accomplish what it says. Hallelujah. So confession, you know, when we use that word confession, so often we've been taught, and you know, I know some here, it may mean something different in maybe the language you speak or what, maybe a language you've grown up in. But in the English language, confession, most times when we talk about confession based on how you were raised, you're thinking, I'm confessing something negative, right? Most times. We're talking about, you know, as they say, you know, how somebody says, just confess it, you know? Or you know how people do, you know, just fess up. You know what I mean? Fess up. But confession can mean that. But for us, confession in the Word of God, there's many scriptures that will, you know, we can pull out, and we'll pull out a few and look at them. But for us, confession means us decreeing who we are in Christ and what we've obtained through our redemption in Christ. We need to profess that. We need to profess who we are. We need to profess what I have in Christ. We need to profess what I can do in Christ. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And then Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I need to profess that, not profess what I'm experiencing negatively. See? So confession, you've heard this said, confession always precedes possession. Confession is the beginning of possessing something. You've got to confess something. You know, it's interesting to me. You can turn on, I don't know, some may follow, but you can see individuals who are motivational speakers, they want to do, what's their purpose? To motivate you to get to a place. In other words, you've gone to listen to them. You want to be motivated. You want to be stirred and encouraged. And they're there to motivate you. And 99% of them are doing what? They want you to see yourself as a success, see yourself as prosperous, oh my goodness, and do what? Say something. Say something. Well, that's the spiritual law, isn't it? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So we need to remind ourselves that wrong thinking can create some wrong believing. And wrong believing can start creating wrong words. And then those wrong words can begin to create your destiny in your life and some bad paths, right? So we must keep God's word on our lips. That's what we're talking about today. Keeping God's word on our lips. When I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. You've got to maintain. Keep God's word on your lips. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, it's interesting, you know, a lot of times words will just jump off the page. Sometimes when you're reading it, you'll go, And the Holy Spirit will highlight a word for you or two. As many times as I've looked at these scriptures, you know, I've mainly looked at, you know, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession. And I'm looking at profession. But today, I'm just looking at consider. Consider. You know, when we look at the word consider, in this, the Greek word for consider, it means to perceive, it means to consider attentively, is what this Greek word means. It means to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes or mind upon. So when I fix my eyes upon him, I'm fixing my eyes on who? The apostle and high priest of my profession. I'm not considering anything else. What does it say? I'm attentively looking at him. Nothing else. And then just in the dictionary, you know, when we talk about certain words in the English language, you know, when we say consider, if I consider something, what's a word? Well, let me just see here. If I say consider, it means I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Let me get my place here. Yeah, pondering. What's interesting? Let me just get this. Yeah. Yeah, when you consider something, it means you contemplate, you're contemplating something for the purpose of coming to a conclusion or a decision on something. So when I consider, you say, well, you know, I say something to you and you go, well, I'll consider that. What does that mean? That means I'm going to think about it. And then I'll eventually come to some decision about what you said, right? So I haven't made a choice yet. You know, you give me something to think about, and I'll go, I'm going to consider that. So that doesn't mean I just take it in and I go, yeah, amen. No, I'm going to ponder it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to look up some information. This is naturally, right? And we consider something. That means that I'm considering something, says may suggest giving thought in order to reach a suitable conclusion or what? An opinion. So once you've considered something and you've come to an opinion, you're settled. That's why it's so important what we listen to. Because you know darn well that they feed enough information, you're listening to that, and then you come to a conclusion. And you do what? They want to mold your opinion so that you're in agreement with their opinion. No, that's why we are to fix attentively to the apostle and high priest, nobody else, and nothing else. Because that's the one that I want to have. I want to be able to have his thoughts, his opinions, right? Not the world's. So, again, listen to the Passion Translation in Hebrews 3:1. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to feast, to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully on Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest." So we need to fasten our thoughts fully upon him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:14, these are familiar scriptures. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us," what? "Hold fast our," what? "Our profession," or our confession. We're to hold fast to it. The Amplified, it says, "So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word." So our profession needs to be his word on our lips. And we need to keep it in our hearts. I like this in the Passion Translation of Hebrews 10:23. It says, "So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us." Wrap your heart around it. Don't open it up to other stuff. Keep your heart wrapped tightly around the Word of God. And let that word come up out of your lips and be on your lips. You know, I heard something years ago. It was an interview done by Nancy Dufresne after her husband went home to be with the Lord, Ed Dufresne. And she was interviewing Brother Hagin's daughter, Pastor Hagin's sister. And she was interviewing her, and she said, "You know, what did you learn from your dad, you know, Brother Hagin, through the years? What is one of the most significant?" Pat Harrison, she was interviewing. And she said, "What was the most significant thing that you remember regarding your dad?" And she said, "When he went through tough times," and he experienced a lot of those, she said that the one thing I remember was that he said this to her: "When you're going through a difficult time, speak less, pray more in the Holy Ghost." Well, he said it was keep your mouth closed. Don't say the things that you're experiencing. Pray more in the Holy Ghost and only say those things that the Holy Spirit prompts you to say. Don't talk about what you're feeling. Don't talk about what you're experiencing. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep your heart built up and stirred up in the Holy Ghost. And then when you're experiencing something, don't talk about it. When I say don't talk about it, if you're going to say something, you say, "I'm experiencing this, but God is working in my life." You always put a coda on it and end it with, "Yeah, but God's delivering me." God's bringing me out. You ever notice that when we look at examples in the Bible, when we look at some of the stories that are in the Bible, look at David and Goliath. David didn't go out and talk about how big the giant was. He talked about how big his God was and what he was going to do. He didn't talk about the negative. He didn't talk about his feelings. He said, I'll tell you what, God delivered me from the lion. He delivered me from the bear, and he's going to deliver me into my hands this day. And I'm going to do such and such to you. Now, I'm sure maybe he had some feelings in his flesh, but he didn't talk about it. And we notice even when Jesus, and when he went, you know, when he said in the story, when he was getting ready, they were getting ready to go over to where he delivered the man with all the spirits in Gadarene. He said before that in Mark chapter 4, he said, let's go to the other side. And then he's asleep in the boat. And what did the disciples do? They're telling him their feelings. And waking the master up and saying, what, don't you care that we're about ready to die? And he got up and did what? He said, peace be still. And then turned around and gave them a what for? As they say. He said, why are you so fearful? How come you have no faith? So they expressed what they were feeling. Let's not talk about how we feel. Nowhere in there in the Bible does it tell us to talk about how we feel. This body will have all kinds of feelings. So faith, our faith is what? Voice activated. And it needs to be, God's word needs to be on our lips. So the word of God was spoken, and then it what? It must be spoken through us. So familiar scripture, I like this in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 13, in the Passion. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then we speak in faith. So something, how are we to operate? We're to operate in faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? That means we walk by a faith-filled words and what's in our heart, not by what we feel and not by what we see. I don't know what we're going to do. Nowhere in there does it say, you know, to try to figure out how something's going to come to pass. We are to do what? Decree it, and God said, I'll watch over my word to perform it. He will make it come to pass. If his word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, then that means everything I set my hands to is blessed. My bank accounts are full and running over. It doesn't matter what's in them. I say they're full and overflowing. I say I'm prosperous. I say my body is healed and whole and healthy. And it's up to God by his Spirit to lead me and guide me so that those words are fulfilled. And everyone's different. He's going to lead you different than he leads me. But I need to profess that. I need to decree that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Every disease, every germ, every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. Now you get excited. I've been saying that right there, I've been saying that since the late 70s. Because when I first heard Charles Capp say that, I went and bought the sheets that he sold, laminates, that they were selling at Kenneth Copeland conventions. He was there, and I brought them home. And I started saying, they're down here now. They're down on the inside. And you say them, and you say them, and you say them. And when, see, it doesn't mean that sickness won't try to touch your body. But I say it can't stay. I say that when it touches my body, it dies instantly. So if it tries to touch my body, then what's my response? Oh, no, no, you get. Because it's the word, it's the blood and the word of my testimony. My testimony. And it's the blood. I've been redeemed by the blood. So you can't touch my bank account. You can't touch my money. Didn't say you wouldn't try. But we are to do what? Have his word on our lips. Not be silent. Not be silent. You know, something that there's so much I want to get to today. Something that I heard, and I was sharing it with Pastor Greg, that interesting, and actually he said, hey, we that was put up on the reader board out here years ago. I said, really? And it was something I heard this week. I heard Brother Bill Winston sharing this. He said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And I went, ooh. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And actually, he said, Brother Copeland shared that many, many years ago. So it's actually, I heard Bill Winston share, but it was really Brother Copeland that shared that. Fear tolerated. You know, when you tolerate something, you know, that you can look up all the words. When you tolerate something, you know, you are enduring something, you're bearing, you're suffering something, you know, you're tolerating something. We ought not tolerate things that we've been not given. Because what does the scripture say? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is not that, it's spiritual. You can't think it away. And if you're going to deal with something spiritual, then you've got to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint. So faith is how we deal with that, right? So faith needs to be connected with our words to speak to fear. We're not tolerating that. We will not tolerate that which has not been given to us by God. He didn't give a sickness or disease that I'm not tolerating it. Now, when I don't tolerate something, then I need to place myself in a position to be led by His Spirit. You know, you may be making a confession. If he's going to fulfill your words, you know, I'll just say it this way. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes here. But when we make faith professions, we live in this natural body. So you cannot violate natural laws and expect to maybe have some good results. It's just natural stuff. I'm just saying here now. If you violate natural laws, then there may be. I didn't say there will be. I'm saying there may be some consequences. Yes. I mean, isn't it interesting? We make faith confessions, but then we have to wait to go to the doctor for the doctor to tell us to lose weight. When we know all along that we need to lose weight, and when you talk, they go, yeah, I know, but we have to have a doctor tell us, you need to lose weight. That's what I'm talking about. So sometimes there are natural adjustments that we need to make. I'm not saying that, what I am saying is that you can be making faith confessions, expecting results and violating natural laws and fighting against that. You need to be open to the Holy Ghost. Listen to Him. He may tell you, make adjustments to your diet. Get up early and do some exercising. Do some walking. Simple things. That's all I'm saying. He may tell you, don't budget your money more. Don't spend all the money over on this or that. He may tell you to do something different. All I'm saying is God will fulfill the words that you're speaking, but you're going to have to listen and make adjustments. That's all we're saying. You're going to have to discipline yourself to hear Him and make the adjustments. But God will fulfill them. He'll fulfill those words. Hallelujah. So our confession is key. We need to have His word on our lips. This was something that we sell the book here by F.F. Bosworth on. It's called Christ the Healer. And he made this statement. He said, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. It is what we confess with our lips that really dominates our inner being. Nothing will be established, or nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. God can be no bigger in you than you confess Him to be. So we need to have His word upon our lips. One of the things that when we say fear tolerated is faith contaminated, fear, when it's received and embraced, builds a fence. It'll build a fence around your life, around your mind. Fear will keep you trapped. So when we talk about certain things that God didn't give us, what is Proverbs 18:21? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So we need to make sure that we do not embrace or take certain things that weren't given to us. Proverbs 22 and verse 17 and 18. And I'm going to look at this in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 22, 17. In the New Living. It says, listen to the words of the wise. What does this say? Apply. What does that mean? Do it. Apply. Apply your heart to my instructions. That means believe it and say it. Verse 18, for it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready where? On your lips. Not what you're experiencing, but the Word of God. The Amplified Translation. It says, listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. Verse 18, for it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. Yeah, well, there you go. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. You keep thinking on negative stuff, and your lips are going to be accustomed to talking that. But if you keep the words of the wise, you keep his word in your heart and embrace it, then you're going to be more accustomed to keeping that on your lips. Amen. Here's one last scripture verse here, because there's so much to cover. Romans chapter 4 in verse, and this is in the New Living Translation. And we're talking about being, don't cast away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. But here, look at Abraham, and starting in verse 16 of Romans chapter 4, in the New Living Translation. It says, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you. I'm not going to. He said, I have made you. What? The father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of what? Nothing. Oh, yes, I like this. He creates things out of nothing, and he brings dead things back to life. Yeah. So here, verse 18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham did what? He kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. So he believed the word that God spoke. What does it go on? Believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Verse 19, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured, right? That's what a lot of us do. We figure. His body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham what? Never wavered. He never wavered in what? Believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Some of you here, you need to not waver and not let go of words that God has spoken to you. Maybe you figured, this is dead. My life is dead. My job is dead. My marriage is dead. This is dead. Something that has no life. But if God spoke something to you, then he will bring it to pass. And what does this say here? Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Maybe the doctor said something. Maybe you look at your life and you figure, this will never happen. This will never come to pass. But God promised. That's why I'm so, you know, when Brother Hagin used that term, like a dog, you know, like a bulldog on a ball, just, you know how some dogs, you go to take their food away and they go, that's how I feel sometimes about the words prophesied over this ministry. You can figure all you want. People can go, it sure don't look. I don't care what you think. I believe God, and he will bring to pass every word that he's spoken over this ministry. And he will bring to pass the words that he's spoken to you personally. He will bring it to pass. Now, maybe he didn't speak something personally to you, but I'll tell you, this word is personal. If he said that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, if he said that you've been delivered out of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, if he said Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law, he has healed you, if he said that you are prosperous, then that's a personal word to you. Then you can take that and say, God, I don't care what it looks like. My bank accounts are full. This is the best year that I will ever have. And you better not waver. You better not let go of that. Keep that on your lips. Keep his promises on your lips, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. I don't care what it looks like. You need to be bold and decree it. Where? Not from your head, but from your heart. See, always go back to this foundational truth. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. I have faith in God. Let's close with this thought. What is Hebrews 10:23? You know, this is something that I like. Rick Renner, he's coming out with a translation called the Renner Interpretive Version. I think it's RIV. But he had an interpretation of Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us come into agreement with God and then begin to speak what he says. Oh, I like this. Holding tightly to what we confess and refusing to let anyone take it from us. Oh, yes. It's up on the screen. Look at it. let us come into agreement with God, that means his word, and then begin to speak what he says. Holding tightly to what we confess and refusing to let anyone take it from us. Hallelujah. That's just the same thing. He just added a little something-something to it from an interpretation. Because in the King James, what does it say? Let us hold fast our confession or our profession, hold the profession of our faith without what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. Have faith in God. And have faith in his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So keep his word on your lips. Don't waver in the thing. Don't go, well, it doesn't look like this will come to pass. You know, usually that's where the devil fights. In your mind, thoughts come. And you begin to meditate. You know, I remember, you know, thank God for pastors, you know, that hear from God. But I remember, you know, working here in the ministry, I reached a point where I knew I opened the door to a thought. And that thought, this is many, many years ago, and I was working, and I embraced a thought rather than cast it down because it was a vain thought. And I let that thought stay. And I reached and I got to a place of depression. And I'm just sharing, I went through this. And it gripped, and I couldn't shake it because I didn't fight it. I meditated on the thought. And the depression gripped. I went through the motions. I came to work early, left late, did what I needed to do, but the depression gripped. And so what happened was, Pastor Clinton called me one day and said, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Nothing." He said, You don't look your normal self. What's going on?" And I had just listened. And he spent about 5 minutes on the phone, and it just went, phew. And when that stopped, I went, "You fool, you embraced a thought, and you didn't cast it down immediately, and it gripped, and it held. And we can open doors. And where do we open doors? Thoughts. Now maybe, you know, I'm sharing it because it may help somebody. But sometimes it may be as simple as you embrace this thought, because this is more common. "Well, I've been confessing that for 20 years or 10 years. Maybe something's off." So you get quiet. You're not as fervent with your confession. You're not as definite with your confession. You've wavered. And you become quiet. You're not as vocal with your confession. You're not as definite. Because when you're confident, when you're convinced, you're not quiet. Oh, I'll tell you. You ever met a convinced person? You tell them, "Yeah, I heard it already. Thank you very much." We meet them now and then in the ministry here. They're convinced that we ought to do what they want to do. And they're not quiet about it. And I'm not saying they should be, but you understand my point. when people are convinced and they're convicted, they're not quiet. They talk, they speak, because they're convinced. So why are we quiet? Why are we quiet in some areas? You examine you. Are you as bold as you used to be? Or have you gotten quiet? See, you got quiet. There was this hush. I felt it. I felt it when I said, how come we got quiet? Because I can honestly say there are some areas that I've gotten quiet in. How about you? Are you bold to say certain things? Are you bold to say, this year is going to be my best year? See, because when you're trudging through something and you're fighting through something, it's like, yeah, but... Because your mind is working against you. Your mind is throwing up all these thoughts. What about this? What about this? What about this? It's no different than what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? We just got done reading it. It says, he said, even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept, he said, he figured his body was as good as dead. So he was experiencing stuff. He's trudging through stuff. He's working through stuff. And God said to him, you're going to be this. And he's like, really? You got to be kidding me. Yeah. So we need not be quiet. We need to be bold and have his word on our lips. Because this is where the devil wants. He wants us to be quiet. Because it's the blood and the word of our testimony that gets the job done. And he knows it. So he wants us to be quiet. See? No, we're not going to be quiet. We're going to be bold. And we're going to speak more. And say more what we're going to have. And what we're going to do. And what we're going to accomplish for God. Amen. God's looking for a church that is bold. That's why I appreciated having those three ministers come for the prayer conference, because they live that. They live it. They speak what they're going to have. They put themselves in positions where they go, if God don't show up, amen. So let's not be quiet. Let's keep his word on our lips. And even when your mind is saying, this is the most foolish thing. No, it's not foolish. Because God said, you can have what you say. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your incorruptible word. And we thank you that the word that you spoke created the things that we don't see, or the things that we see. The things that are unseen support the things that are seen. So, Father, we thank you that the words that we speak are creative, and they will bring to pass the things that we decree. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Before we unhook, let's just, if you happen to be in this room or you are watching online and maybe you've never made a public profession that you're aware of. Maybe you never made a profession of faith because it's believing in your heart under righteousness and confession that brings salvation. So let's make that simple profession of faith in Christ. Maybe we've already done that, but it's good to profess what we are and what we have. And if you're online and you've never done that before, well, then this is your day to receive Him, to have your heart changed, and to receive eternal life. Let's say this: Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth. I believe that He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer for mankind. And I thank you that also on the third day you raised Him from the dead. And you said, if I believe that and confess that with my mouth, that I shall be saved. So, Father, I confess that. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that He was raised from the dead. I believe He took my sins and He has redeemed me. And I decree that He has washed me with His blood. He has changed my spirit and He has come to live in my heart. And now I receive, or have received, eternal life, and I am saved. And if you said that simple prayer, you believed in your heart, and you confessed with your mouth boldly, then you've received Him, you've received eternal life, and you are saved. Hallelujah. So get in touch with us, let us know, or let us know here in this room that you've professed that, and praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.